Today, we are considering the passage in the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews is now my favorite book because I've been studying this book for the whole year preparing for my trip to Thailand. Next month, I'll be going there to teach in the seminary. And so, I'm quite acquainted with the book of Hebrews. And the verses of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 is very appropriate for our occasion. You know, the theme for this year, can you remember them? Last week, you have heard about it. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And today, I'm going to talk about running the Christian race. It's all tied together. The Christian life is often compared to common activities in life. Sometimes the writer will say the Christian as a servant or as a soldier or ambassadors. All this occupation has some significance. When the writer say that a Christian is compared to a servant, it means that we are to serve the Lord, serve our master faithfully. That's the emphasis there. And the writer sometimes compare Christian to a soldier, one who holds fast to his position in the midst of the battle. One will never give up. They talk about our perseverance in our Christian life, our Christian faith. So there are certain significance. And sometimes the author will say that a Christian is compared to an ambassador. What does that mean? In other words, whatever we do, whatever we say, we represent Christ. We are ambassadors of Christ. We must shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. And here the writer of Hebrews also used a metaphor. He compared a Christian to a runner in a race. And those who put their faith in Christ are runners. If you are a Christian, you are a runner in the race of faith. Remember that. Your race began the moment you became a Christian, and now you are still running the race towards the finishing line or finishing the winning post. Unfortunately, many Christians are not putting the necessary effort of running the race. Some are not even running at all. And so the writer of Hebrews exhorted his readers to run, to complete the race. Now, as you study the book of Hebrews, you must look back because in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, say, wherefore, the word wherefore, referring back to chapter 11. And chapter 11, the writer mentions about the heroes of faith. Why mention about them? Because these heroes of faith had completed the race of faith. And so in chapter 12, the writer uses the running metaphor to encourage believers to follow the footsteps of those who has gone before them. He encouraged them to run the race of faith with endurance and excellence, to eliminate hindrances to the running, to focus on Christ and press on to the finish line. So I summarize the whole thing. See? Now, first of all, let's just look carefully what the writer wants us to do. First thing, he wants us to follow the example of the heroes of faith. The writer begins by referring to the heroes of faith, and we are to follow their examples. All right, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, the first part. I'm giving you a textual sermon. So the first part says, therefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. The faithful saints or heroes were referred to a cloud of witnesses. They knew how to run the race of faith. And the writer in chapter 11 did tell us, some of them, I just mentioned a few of them, how Moses opposed Pharaoh, abandoned the pleasure and the privilege of his court, and then passed through the Red Sea. You see, he trusted God, looked up to him in the running of the race. And then the last part, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 37 to 39, he described how others were tortured, mocked, scorched, imprisoned, stoned, and etc. For what purpose? For the sake of their faith in God. These people trusted God in the running of the race. Look again, chapter 12, verse 1. The great cloud of witnesses. Who are they? They are not made up of spectators cheering us on as we run the race. So they are not spectators looking at us. No, not at all. They are historic spiritual examples. Their lives are the testimony that the life of faith is the only way to live as a Christian. They have run the race and are witnesses to the victory that God will give us at the end of the race. Because they have done it, they serve as examples to motivate us to persevere in our running. What they could do with their faith in God, we can also do. We have the same God, and He can bring the same blessing to us if we trust Him. That gives us the motivation to run the race of faith and to follow the example of faith. Now, concerning the running of faith, how are we to run the race of faith? Chapter 12, verse 1 again, the writer says, "Let us run with patience the race that is set before us." You know, he's telling us to run with patience, not to give up. Unfortunately, many Christians are not really running the race at all. Some are jogging instead of running, and others are walking. And some are not even moving. They perhaps are standing or sitting. The biblical standard for Christian living is to run the race, not jog or walk. How do we know? Because the Greek word race is from the word agon, from which we get the English word agony. All right, from which you get agony. It is an agonizing effort and it is demanding. It requires total commitment, self-discipline, determination, and perseverance. So it's not easy to run a race. We need all this quality to do so. To be at least standing still or going backwards is not the way to run the race. Next, we are to run with patience. The word patience here means endurance. It means endurance. To run with endurance means to keep running even when everything in you wants to slow down or give up. Have you ever tried that? When you are running, you feel so tired, you want to give up. And that is endurance. But you continue to run the race. The Christian race is not a sprint. It's not just run 100 meters and that's it. No. It is a marathon. It's a long distance. It needs a lot of endurance, a lot of energy to do so. To win a marathon, one must be disciplined, able to endure weariness and exhaustions. The same is true in the Christian life. And so let us run with patience the race that is set before us. In other words, the Lord has a plan for your life, a race that is set before you, before us. Every runner is assigned to a specific line. If you are a runner, you know. You cannot cross the line. You have to run according to your line. And when the start gun fires, the race begins. Each runner is to stay in his or her lane. In other words, God has a plan for all of you. And every member or every believer should run in that lane, in the will of God that He has assigned. Every young people, I know every young people, ought to pray. When you are of certain age, the interest of relationship is there. Boy interested in girls and the girls interested in boy. So it's very natural. What must you do? Well, the advice is to pray. Pray that God will prepare someone, Mr. Right or Miss Right, for you. Don't rush into it. It's hard to come out sometimes. So this is something I want to encourage all the young people to do so. If God wants you to be a businessman, you should run His business for, you should run your business for the Lord Jesus Christ. If the Lord wants you to be a teacher, you should teach for the Lord Jesus Christ. Show your example as a teacher. You know, it doesn't matter what a person does. As long as he is doing what God wants him to do, doing his best, and do well for him. He must keep running till he reaches the finishing line. Next, we are to run not only to do our best with patience, but also with excellence. Nothing is more disturbing than to see Christians having very little desire to run or to finish the race. They are contented simply to be safe and wait to go to heaven. That's all they want, a place in heaven, and the rest they ignore. My friend, this is unacceptable in the Christian life. It is not what God wants all of us to be. It is not His will for each one of our life. If you are a Christian and claim that Jesus is the Lord of your life, you must strive to do your very best to run the race. If you are a Sunday school teacher, you must be the most excellent teacher as you can. If you are a Bible teacher, lead your flock with excellence. If you are a homemaker, make your home as excellent as it can be. When you are at your work, do the most excellent job as you can, not just rushing out. Do your very, very best, excellent job. And that is the only way to live the Christian life. Now, it takes discipline and hard work. But we must demand excellence of ourselves to run the race to win. The Apostle Paul believed in that principle. Not only to do the best, but do it well. He believed in this principle. He did not pursue comfort, wealth, popularity, respect, position, or anything else, but only to do the will of God. I show you two verses here from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 26 and 27. Here the Apostle Paul says, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth in the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I preach, I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. What does that mean? Paul said, as a runner, I want to win the race. You know what does that demand you? To practice, to do your very best, right? Discipline and so forth. Then you will win the race. You say, as a boxer, so fight I. As a boxer, I want to be a champion in the fight. I believe all the boxers want to be there. Not just hitting in the air. There must be some aim, some strategy to accomplish the goal. Every punch, there is a target, you see, to hit at. And that demands your best, doing your best to win. As a preacher, he wanted to be a profitable servant for the Lord to use. As a preacher, I'm not here just telling you the truth from the Bible and that's it. No, there's something more than that. I always think, how can I preach that will help you to grow spiritually? You see? And that's very important. And that demands a lot of prayer, a lot of thinking, a lot of seeking the will of God, the strength of the wisdom of God to do so. And in so doing, the Lord will bless this kind of work. This is what Christian commitment is all about. We must be fully committed not only to do our best, but also to do it well. To do it well in accordance to the will of God. Next, we'll come to the next point. Maximizing your potential in the race. The writer now exhorts his reader. Now what he says here? Chapter 12, verse 1 again. Let us lay aside every weight. Now, one major problem that the runners have to deal with is weight. Is weight. They must not exceed their weight limits. They must exercise and adhere to a strict diet. They must weigh daily to make sure that they are physically fit. They must throw off everything that will slow them down in the race before they begin. For example, too much clothing is also a hindrance. When the race begins, the runner runs with as little clothing as decently allows. They cannot afford to be concerned about how they look. That is very important. Christians also have a weight problem. Whatever weighs us down, diverts our attention, snaps our energy, dampens our spirit in serving the Lord, or enthusiasm in serving the Lord, or destroying our testimony for the Lord, what must we do? We must lay them aside. We must lay them aside. And here the writer says, let us lay aside the sin which do so easily beset us. Anything that hinders the progress of Christian living is sin, and they must be laid aside. I want you to take note of the definite article here before the word sin. This indicates that particular sins that you and I may have. As far as the Hebrew writer, the reader is concerned, they have their particular sin that hinders them from moving forward. The children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt in the wilderness, they failed to enter the promised land. Why? Because of the sin that hinders them. And the sin that hinders them is unbelief. They don't believe what God said. So therefore, they could not enter into the promised land. They stay in the wilderness for 40 years. The question now, What is your particular sin? Anything that prevents us from living the Christian life is sin, and we must lay it aside. And the Bible tells us some of the things always hinders our Christian life in the Bible. I just mentioned a few of them. And one of them, the Lord Jesus Christ warned us, is concerning mammon. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Mammon is the Greek mammon is actually a Semitic word for money or possession. Sometimes because we are busy earning money, business run here and there, we forget about what day is today. You forget about God because things that occupy your mind so much that it takes away your love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus also mentioned about the loved ones. He that loveth father, mother, brother, sister more than me is not worthy of me. Do you remember that? In Luke chapter 14, verse 26. Sometimes our loved one can be our hindrance. How? Well, they will ask you to do something that God that God forbids you. Or you need to do something, they prevent you from doing so. So in this case, we have to be careful. And in James chapter 4, verse 4 tells us that the world is also another hindrance to our Christian life. And therefore, James says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. So, brethren, these are some of the things that mention the Bible that we must be careful. All this can hinder a person from living the Christian life. Verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 12. Focusing on the goal of the race. What will I do to keep from stumbling in the race? When you run, where you look is important, right? Where you look is important. So the writer says that we should be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. What is the author of our faith? What is the author of faith? In other words, here it refers to the Lord Jesus Christ is the author of our faith. He is the originator. He's the one who begins and leads us in the race. He's the one who shows us the example. So we have to look at him and follow his example. Because he is the best example for us to run the race. Then the second thing, the author says, not only he is the author of our faith, but he is also the finisher of our faith, or the perfecter of our faith. He is the perfecter of our faith. How do we know? You study the life of Christ. He has shown us how to run the race. And we know that his entire earthly life was living by faith. He lived in total dependence upon the Father. It was his absolute faith in God that enables him to go through the mocking, crucifixion, rejection, and desertion up to the moment of his death. When he said, "It is finished," and "Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit." So we see from the beginning to the end of his earthly life, he was doing, trusting, living in the will of God. He accomplished exactly what he was meant to accomplish, to complete the work of salvation for mankind. Therefore, he is the author and the finisher or perfecter of our faith. Peter tells us the same thing. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. And that's what he says here. For even hereunto ye were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should what? Follow his steps. Dear friends, as we run the race of Christian life, let us focus on Christ and follow his footsteps. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the best example that we should follow. And let us press on to the higher ground till we finish the race. And may God help each one of us as we start this year, that we will run well to the glory of his name. O Lord Jesus, this is our desire, to press on to the higher ground. And we pray, Lord, that your Spirit will fill each one of our hearts, strengthen each one of us, energize us, that we will have a strength from the birth to run the race that is set before us. And we pray, Lord, for this church, that you help each one of us, that we will walk according to thy will, that we will do all things that you have committed unto us. And now may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit lead and direct us till he comes. Amen.